There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Yes, welcome everybody to the Keith Harris Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. And I am excited to have a good friend of ours here at the show back. Join us. Very busy man. A lot of exciting things going on. Without any further ado, here is writer, director, and actor Leonardo Sanderson. What's going on with you, bro?
Thanks, brother. How's it going? Everything's good.
That's good, man.
A lot of projects in the work, man.
Hey, I'm glad to hear we hadn't talked in a while. I hear it in your voice, man. You sound happy. You sound excited, man. Congratulations.
Right. I had to put Sons of God on pause because I met one of the actresses on my set, and we wound up dating, and it got serious, and we wound up moving in together, and she got pregnant, and she's having my child this week.
Well, congratulations. Look, super duper congratulations on that, man. Look, that'll slow everything down, won't it?
Well, she was going around with a big belly. And, she had the model looking first, and the model looked good for the camera. The big belly kind of slowed things down.
Yeah, that's true. That's one thing that they always talk about, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, something you guys go through, especially with casting, is that sometimes everybody might not look quite the same, you know, even when banners, when you try to put those posters up early and then when the film comes out and characters don't quite look the same. But this is a special, this is a special case. This is accepted right here, man. That's a big deal.
In the interim, I got other projects underway. I don't know if you remember, I was working on Young Filmmakers in New York,
right,
which is a program that I'm putting together for youths to learn different aspects of the filming industry.
Right.
Right in Southside Jamaica. So that got put on pause because the community center where we were doing it at, we started off, we got people in, and then they decided to do a construction there, so we're trying to wait for the construction to finish before we continue the program.
Right.
But I'm really excited. The kids love it.
You're in a city where it's always busy, man, so those things can happen. But that, so you're saying the kids are loving it, though. It's going great.
Yeah, it's marvelous. I love working with kids. Actually, what I'm trying to do now is I'm working on my first feature film. It's being produced by my good friend, the one who, young man who introduced us, Jose Masonette.
Word, big shout out to Jose.
Yeah, Jay's the man.
Yeah,
so,
man.
We'll put together, it's called The Rope. It's not a sci-fi, I'm sorry. It's a little different.
Right.
It's an action thriller.
Oh.
It's kind of like, Boys in the Hood meets, Clue.
Word.
Where it's like a big whodunit. Yeah, man, I'm crazy.
Dang! And it's a hood joint, too.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Well, not necessarily hood.
Whatever?
Sorry, I was going to say, well, I guess maybe not necessarily hood, but go ahead, explain.
Oh, no. It's in the hood. The way the hood is now, it's kind of like it's run by the mob. The mob is involved. It's crazy, but it's definitely, it has aspects of the hood.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like a clue. It's a whodunit.
So it's going to be.
And, I'll give this much away.
Hmm.
You're in the trap, and a body turns up.
Oh.
Nobody leaves until we know who did it.
Yo. Hey, and you know what? That's different, too, like, because, and that's got that crazy twist, because usually in a situation like that, I suppose, a lot of times what you see is you hit a shot, or it's kind of evident who did it, or you see somebody running. But in this kind of like being a clueless kind of joint of like, you know what I'm saying? Like you say, the body turner. That's going to be crazy right there.
Word. Word. Mr.
Can you imagine how you gonna change? How you gonna change like the face of kind of way the streets watch TV? Because you gonna have a lot of street dudes sitting down watching a whodunit clue kind of show, and they really didn't make shows like that. They made a lot of good shows like that, but none that everybody could, you know what I'm saying, even street people could get in tune with. So that's gonna be crazy.
Well, that's kind of been my thing. As black people, black filmmakers, we tend to be in two genres, three genres. We tend to be in comedy, we tend to be in drama, and they made up a third category just for us called dramedy, which is kind of like an insult to me, because it's just like it's a drama with comedy, with anything you do is going to have drama and comedy in it.
Yeah.
So my whole thing was to show that as black people, we can be just as creative as any other nationality. That's my whole thing.
So I
try and get away from, you know, the traditional drama or comedy that you're used to when you see a black person, you're like, oh, I'm either gonna laugh at you, I'm gonna laugh at you because you're gonna make a fool of yourself in front of the camera,
right,
or I'm gonna cry because I'm gonna feel bad for you because you're gonna tell me some sad story about how tragic your life is.
Right.
But we can be creative too.
Well, you know what, man? Like, you know, even with Sons of God, you know, you display creativity by kind of. You know, pushing the envelope, being edgy, you know, going over the top with things that you that are not the stereotypical for what some people think that black filmmakers make. How do you come up with the creative ideas? Like, how do you make that curve in your ideas that separates you from the norm?
I have to be honest, I'm a weird kid. Like, a lot of kids want to read comic books and Marvel and DC. I'm in third grade reading Stephen King, John Saul, Dean Koontz. Like,
okay. Yeah.
Let's put that perspective. I had a college reading level in third grade. I like to read novels. My mother liked to read. I like to, because my mother did it. So my mother made me the books. I wanted to read them. We would talk about the books after I read them. It was great. It was, you know, a part of me and my mother's relationship, reading. And so because I read these books in these different genres, you know, everybody knows who Stephen King is.
Yeah.
He's the master of horror and sci-fi. Dean Koontz was, everybody knows who Dean Koontz is now, they didn't back then. And John Saul fell in that same category.
Right.
So being these are the type of authors I read growing up. These are the type of stories that I like to tell.
Right. Have you ever ran
I want to give a big shout out to my boy Pete DiLorenzo for producing Sons of God. And I just want to give a shout out to him. We're doing a lot of other projects. We got a documentary with a boxer from Australia who has an incredible story to tell. We shot the documentary. It's already in post-production. We're doing a few other things with the UN. I just want to give a big shout out to my boy Pete DiLorenzo.
Hey, Lee. Hey, look. Yeah, hey, big shout out to Pete, too, man. Pete, look, Pete real, yo.
That man will make you laugh, right?
Pete real, yo. You know what I'm saying? Big shout out to Pete, man, because he got at me. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Pete got at me, man. Big shout out to Pete, man. Like, a creative team. And you know what, too? I was great stopping you, man, because you got so much stuff you ran down. You know, like, we got a certain amount of time, man, but you know, I got to dab in a little bit of everything you just kind of talked about right there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
go ahead. Where do you want to start?
Well, you know what? My before we go, you caught me off guard. Before I go to that, though, what I wanted to ask you was, man, have you ever, you know, with these ideas, have you ever ran up on an idea that you created yourself that maybe frightened you? Was like, nah. Even frightened yourself, you was like, nah, I ain't ready for that yet. Like, that's for later, you know? Or have all your projects pretty much that you thought of right now, have you just been like, okay, I'm going for it? Because you're a brave guy with the ideas you come up with. Have you ever thought of something that scared you yourself? And you said, I'm going to wait till later.
The Son of God was originally that concept that scared me. Because I broke down the Bible, and then I brought in different cultures' gods. Like, I mean...
Yeah, man.
God from Egypt and Rome and Norse gods and brought them together with angels. That idea scared me.
Yeah.
And I didn't think I'd be able to pull it off.
Yeah.
But then I started getting to work with great people like Anthony Vaccarella and Vanessa Noel and Diesel and I mean, all of these great people. And once we came together, it gelled. And after that, I knew I could do anything.
Yeah, and you picked a powerful cast on that too, because the characters in that, you know, the some of the characters that I've seen, just the look, the style, like when you talk about people like Jose and Diesel, man, they got that look of tough guys, flat out. You know what I'm saying? You got greedy guys to play the role. Listen, man, a lot of times, man, I see cats doing it and they gritty with it, but at the same time, you kind of see that suaveness behind it. And not in this situation, man, these is tough guys, and you could tell that these are going to be scenes that are going to be brutal. It's going to be a lot of sweat and blood and power struggling in that.
I mean, what's Jose? I got to pick on Jose, because Jose is possibly the craziest guy I ever met on set. He is afraid of nothing. I mean, well, okay, let's practice. We're using real swords, albeit not sharp.
Wow.
We're using real swords. Let's practice a little bit. Now let's get into it. And he just goes.
Man.
And working with people like that is amazing, because he was working with Juan Ortiz.
Yeah.
In a fight scene, and these guys, I'm shooting it. I didn't realize these guys were really punching each other with a big flag in a few times. They kept going. They were so into the role that we didn't talk about it until afterwards.
Yeah. He was like, man, he didn't punch me in my face. Wow.
Nobody complained. I swear to God, I didn't know. Until way later, they didn't complain. They were into it. The fight scene came out amazing, obviously.
Right.
I mean, they were punching each other in the face.
Right. What better kid court? Exactly. No, like real stunts. They their own stunt guys. And big shouts out to Juan Ortiz, man, an amazing actor as well, yo.
Definitely. I'm blessed. I'm getting to work with a lot of people. On the new project I'm doing, Garou, I'm working. Paris Dotson was, by the way, my future child's mother.
Okay.
Another model who was in Sons of God. She worked alongside Ariel DeMint, and I believe I got everybody. Blake Kennedy. But on this project, I'm working with. I pulled a few other people out of the hat. Corey Glenn, whom I was very excited to work with, introduced me to my Diesel, Ramos. However, he, unfortunately, he's not going to be able to work with us. This dude gave me a read that blew me away.
Yeah.
And I was so excited to get to work with this guy. And, the day before, like 2 days before we took sit down for the table read, 3 days before, he calls me up and he's like, yo, I have to have knee surgery. I'm out. but I'm going to work with him in another project in the future. He gave me a great meet. I was very excited. I was very disappointed not to have Corey Glenn with me on this project. Right now, my holdup is I can't replace him. He was so good that now I don't like anybody I see.
Wow, yeah, because now you got a vision. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he was great. I'm getting to work with Miss Anita Rebel, who's, she's awesome. She's been working with me for a while. She come in, she helped do smaller roles and extra work, and now I get to work with her. I get to let her read for a bigger role, and she crushed it. I mean, I just get to work with such wonderful people. I don't want to leave anybody out. I really want to mention everybody, because they're all so wonderful.
Right.
They really are great to work with.
Right.
I mean, my favorite place on earth is on set, and that's because I get there and everybody's happy to be there. Everybody's doing what they love to do.
Yeah.
And it's just a beautiful, energetic, wonderful environment.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm grateful to everybody I'm working with. Yeah. I mean, even the crew behind the scenes. I got Danny D, who's, you know, he does camera work. He does it all. I mean, I've gotten to work with just amazing people. One of my best friends was like a brother to me growing up, Adisa Cummings. He's been in front of the camera, behind the camera, in every position that you can imagine. I get to work with such great people, and that's like my favorite part about doing this.
When did it start for the people out there? When did it start for you, Leonardo? When did you decide that, you know, filmmaking is where you wanted to go? Well, matter of fact, before we go to that, how did you get into it? Like, did you try acting first or writing first? How did you start?
Actually, I did. I was younger. I actually toured the country doing, on stage, which is, you know, that's how I broke that. And then I went to music, and I did music for like 15 years.
Yeah.
I had a couple of deals offered to me I didn't take.
Wow.
I thought I was better than that. And I started my own company, actually, and I, Jump Up Productions Inc., and I was like, you know, because I didn't like the deals that were coming to me, I said, I'm going to start my own company.
that's how, but it's like that sometimes, because one thing can really lead into the other, and that's how you find your passion. And the crazy part is sometimes your creativity is a lot more expanded than you might even realize at that time.
It's funny you should say that, because when I was rapping, I'll tell you a funny story. When I was rapping, and I tell a story, and, you know, most rappers will not tell the story. But my first time on stage, I got booed off.
Well, hey.
And it's
that prepared you, didn't it?
You know what? Lyrically, I can write my ass off. I can really write.
Right.
But my delivery was not on point. I couldn't deliver. And eventually I learned that I have to be really great at it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you put some practice in and make sure you get good at it.
Right.
But then I found that the type of stories that I wanted to tell as a rapper, I couldn't tell those stories because you're not going to want to get Sons of God in a hip-hop form. I mean, it's just
right.
It's limited.
Right.
And so film it provided me an opportunity to expand on be able to really tell the type of stories that God gifted me with.
Expression, right. It was another form of expression. But, you know, it's almost because even just like videos, you think of music videos, you know, people are trying to tell the story, you know, that the song is trying to tell. So, with, you know, filmmaking itself, just like you say, it just expanded that creativity, gave you more outs and, you know, more ways to express it.
Telling Garrote probably would have worked as a hip hop song. It's definitely, I mean, it got to the point where I was like, as you know, in 2012, I won the Astana Action International Film Festival, which is the largest action film festival in the world.
Right.
And today I think I'm the only person of color of ethnicity to actually win that great honor.
Right. Hey, shout. Hey, and big shouts out during Black History Month. So we're going to add that in there. That's a big deal.
Thank you.
No doubt. Yeah.
I mean, I honestly don't feel like I've done anything yet. The Oscars just passed. Until I'm there, I haven't reached my goal.
Hey, man. You know what? And from what I can tell, hey, from what I can tell, we need to be there too, man.
You ain't kidding. There was some stuff going on there, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, look. Yeah, that's crazy over there. But look, we'll talk about that later. Hey, but look, so look, now that list you named down of extra things you're working on, start somewhere. I heard you mention one title. Was it UN?
I'm working with Pete DiLorenzo. I believe you had the pleasure of meeting.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You have an interview with him next week if I'm informed.
Indeed, I'm looking forward to that one.
That dude, he's the best impressionist possibly alive. He has over 20 voices and
what?
So forth. But that's not
okay.
What impressed me about the man.
Right.
He's a UN ambassador for world peace.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I mean, no, sorry. Yeah. I mean, I know you're serious. I didn't mean like that, but whoa.
I mean, he's the spokesperson for something called Global. It's a global world peace. And last year, it's October 16th, I think it is. It's Global Cooperation Day. So during Global Cooperation Day, I had the great honor of filming and even being part of interviews with people that are really making monumental changes to this world.
Right.
One gentleman, he's developed something called Aquapods, where it takes up a few city blocks, but once it's built, and it's self-sustaining, and can feed an entire city.
What?
And everything from mushrooms all the way to every food group. And he's building it in Canada as we speak.
Wait a minute. Pete is doing this?
You're going to get Pete to go into more detail.
Yeah, man. Yeah, because... Wow.
Crazy. There's another gentleman. He developed a filtration system in a straw. A filtration system in a straw, which is so powerful that you can literally drink the condensate from a car engine. The water that pours off the car And man. You can put this straw to it, this filtration, this filter to the car engine, and drink it, and it's clean.
Yo.
Can you imagine something like that in Flint, Michigan, in Africa?
Oh, my
goodness. We were on our way from the UN. I gotta finish this one. We were on our way on Global Cooperation Day. We were on our way from the UN. And we had Queen Mother, whom is the mayor of Harlem. Well, she's the community mayor of Harlem. And she happens to be the UN ambassador for Africa. She was in my passenger seat. She was behind me. Jose was sitting next to him. I'm driving. Jose's recording this conversation. Because he's on the phone with the guy who did the filtration system, with the engineer who created the filtration system, and Queen Mother overhears this conversation, and she starts talking to him as the UN rep for Africa, and he's sitting in the car next to me, invites him down to bring his technology down to the UN to help get clean water to African countries. That's amazing stuff.
Whoa.
And I have it on tape. It's on my wall.
Wow.
Amazing stuff. That was like, yeah, that was like, wow.
Man. Y'all needed a few of the tinted windows with the vehicles surrounding y'all. I mean, that's a big deal right there. Like, big shouts out. Like, things that change. Like, that's interesting you say that, because a lot of times people don't realize, you know, what you guys and people like Pete give back, you know, to the communities, and just in your personal time and the way you guys feel about things. You know, you all aren't just creating alternative lifestyles. When I say alternative, I mean, you know, in the filmmaking world, you know, you like with Sons of God, you guys touch on situations that is, you know, as people walking around on Earth, it takes us into that film world. They'll never live that. And so sometimes people don't realize that, hey, you guys aren't just doing that. Like, you're making big differences in everyday life. And sometimes those things don't get exposed on maybe CBS or NBC or CNN or these big places like that. And so that's a big deal right there. Like, listen, make sure you keep us posted on how people can contribute and can help and donate to that cause too, man.
You know what? I'm gonna let Pete take over from there.
Okay.
I help out any way I can.
Yeah.
But I just assist him. He's the UN ambassador. He's the man on that. And I feel privileged and honored to be able to have an opportunity to be a part of something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just doing his global cooperation thing he does every year.
Yeah.
And, you know, because me and him have worked so closely on so many projects, he was just like, will you film it? Mm. And I did the extra, and Jose came and offered, and, you know, just worked out that way.
Yeah. Now, going to the projects a little bit too. Can we expect to see Leonardo doing any acting in any of these upcoming projects?
Oh, I do a cameo in almost every project I've ever done.
Okay.
I love to act. I'm always on camera. Yeah. Even in Garope is coming up now. I got a role. Nobody knows I'm playing it yet because we haven't done the table reads yet.
Right.
But I got a role. I'm always gonna be. I like behind the camera. Like what happened is, I've been doing so much behind the camera. You see me doing the cinematography, which is basically the lighting and the controlling of the look of the film on the audio. I'll be doing the Foley, which is picking up external sounds to put into the sound later to make it sound to make the sound more real. Oh. Or I'll be doing, you know, the camera work.
Right.
It's gotten to the point now where at first I was against it. They nicknamed Mr. Cinema, and that was a thing that was going around, but now I'm starting to embrace it.
Yeah. Well, you should, man. Well, you know what? With doing so much, playing so many roles in creating these projects, which one seems like it's the quickest run through, whether it be editing or, you know, lighting and things like that, and which side of filmmaking for you seems like it's the harder task to complete?
The hardest task, editing. Can't stand it. Most important thing, you don't have no edit, you don't have a movie.
That's always
a tedious task.
That's always the number one answer right there is editing. And you go, yeah, because that's, I can't imagine, like, I mean, how many hours can it take sometimes to do that? But then I guess, can it take days, weeks, maybe?
It can take do one scene depending on what's in it.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah, definitely. Well, and if there's no effects in, I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, yeah.
What I like the most that takes time is writing. Well, that's the actual writing process of the, that's my God-given talent, you know, to be able to.
Right, especially for a guy like yourself, like with the type of films you all make anyway, especially because, yeah, like things are happening fast with you know, in you guys' films, so I can imagine. Now, what has, you know, who is Leonardo, I got to ask this question, who is Leonardo offset? Like who, you know, on a day off when you're not filming, what's a day like with Leonardo?
I've been called an activist. I'm a very strong black personality. I'm not a quiet man. I'm opinionated. I state my opinions. I mean what I say. I'm a family man. Me and my daughter, forget it. I have another one on the way. I'm a big family man. That's where most of my dedicated time goes when I'm not working. Uh-huh. It's I'm really about my family.
Right.
But I'm an activist. I do my best to push. That's why young filmmakers in New York. Yeah. I want to push black people into. Here's the thing about film. I'm gonna say this really quickly. Uh-huh. People don't realize how much goes into a film. You have makeup artists. You have hair designers, electricians. You uh-huh. have food caterers. There's 100 different jobs. If a person wanted to do something, came on set, they could pick one job and make a career out of it and see six figures and live a comfortable, happy life, run their own business, just one job on set.
I'm shaking. Go ahead.
I'm sorry? Go ahead.
Can finish because I'm just shaking my head. I'm going to say why. Go ahead, though.
So that's what I'm trying to push. It's not about teaching kids to make movies. It's about teaching them to be entrepreneurs, to look, to show them something that they might like, to make them, to give them a drive to go and want to do something. Then maybe they'll go to school and get that education to, but maybe not hold a camera. Like I said, maybe you got a hairstylist. Maybe you got somebody who opens up a food chain. You know, because, you know, I like the food. I like the way they get the food on set. I want to be able to bring food to. I mean, there's something. The clothing designer, you know, clothing designer is a little edgy one because that's a difficult field, like filmmaking. But I mean, there's so many jobs on set, and forget the editing and all of the stuff that actually goes along in the film.
Right.
There's so many jobs that you can like. I'm just trying to push a positive thing into my community, rather than you know what you see when you turn on the media and it's. You know, everybody dealing drugs or on welfare.
Yeah. You know, with what you just described, it shows sincerely, Leonardo, you know, the genuineness that you put behind what you do. But it also shows that you come from a real place. And the reason I say that is because you so many opportunities that you named, and you're right. There's so many different goals and things that go on behind the scenes that kids that don't really have opportunities that are coming up, like you say, the catering, so many little jobs that they don't even know exist or that they don't realize they can make careers out of. Imagine with the great thing about what you're doing is look how many doors you're opening up to give people opportunities just by knowing that they're there. Like, those are big dreams that you just named out, big businesses that people could make. And it's just a big deal that you actually, your heart goes out to those type, to people like that. And it cares about the community and giving that opportunity. Cause we talked about being at the Oscars, but that's one thing. That's one side of it. But what you just said right there just shows that you still grounded with, you know, with the reality and other people who got dreams and goals in mind, man. A lot of people don't look back like that, bro. So that's a big deal. We congratulate you for that, man.
I got this young lady who's about 70-something that I'm working with now. She was I don't want to say her name because I don't know if that's okay. She was the first black woman on Wall Street.
Wow. Man.
And she wants to be a part of the program and help me to teach children finances. I can learn a world from this. Are you kidding me? Like, I mean, she's a doctorate, and, you know, doctor, I'm not going to say her name like I said, but she's coming aboard the program as well to help these children learn finances. And that, to me, is just like, wow. Because even in still, you got to have a budget. You better understand how a budget works. Finances is important. That's yet another, like, that's something that I can teach, but not to the level that somebody like she can.
Right.
She can teach, you know, basics and the deeper. And again, that's something, you know, I work with lawyers. I have to work with lawyers in order to contract. So, you know, all lawyers are not criminal lawyers.
Right.
You have entertainment lawyers. It's just, there's so many avenues.
Look, that's why
I think I've expressed that enough.
No, I'm saying, but you're right, though, because see, that's why when you were saying that earlier and I said that I was just sitting here shaking my head, man, because it's true. So many people, like, you know, like with you on the show right now, you're one voice and you speak for so many different voices that come along with you. And people don't realize, yes, there's so many things. Like, do you know, like, people could hear your voice right now, but if they only knew how many things was going on in your brain that had to do with this film, like they only hear what you saying, like, shit, like, you on all different types of shit. Like, we could literally talk about catering. We could go into that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, really, though. Yeah,
right. Right.
Like,
you know?
I mean, it's just, you mentioned it, I'm not going to go on. I'm just going to put it like this. On a film set, budgets go different ways.
Man.
You might be on a one set, and the majority of the money is the ones of food. I mean, you might get served caviar, and the rest of the equipment, everything else, the money in the bag, nobody get paid, nothing.
Yep.
The money might literally go into the food.
Yep.
And you might be on another set, and you might get tea, the cracking salad, and bottled water. You have to have bottled water to get like this.
Yep.
If you do not have bottled water, see the back of the walk-up set.
That's right.
I learned that early in my career. but I mean, yeah. The whole might be cheese and crackers or Subway sandwiches, which, you know, could be very well fine.
Right.
Just to show you, even catering can go so deep.
Yeah, indeed it can, man. But, you know, hey, look, so. You start thinking about it. You say, damn, like, yeah, but it does. It makes you think about it. Like you say, permits, filming.
Oh, man. Having to work with the city to get permits. I mean, most people don't know that you can go to town hall and get it, or you can go to the police. And believe it or not, in New York City, to close down most blocks, more than $300.
Man. Wow.
You're not shutting down Wall Street for
$300. Yeah, I was going to say, and as much money as some of them blocks generate, man, that's crazy. That's in New York.
I mean, you know, a little black block in nowhere is $300.
Right.
You know, the prices vary.
Right.
But most blocks are like $300.
You know what, though, as a filmmaker and why, man, like, how hard is it to stop traffic? I mean, because your day's got to be crazy, too. Another side of it, when you want to go out and film, like, you got crazy traffic to deal with sometimes. Or parking, people parking.
It depends on the set, the day, where we at. I don't really do that. The production assistant, the PA, does that.
Right.
You know, and they kind of look like the production assistant. The job that day is kind of like traffic security, where they, you know, they have to stop traffic. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
We're trying to usher them around. We're trying to work with them. I mean, I know you saw some behind-the-scenes stuff with them.
Yeah.
I did not want to drive by while we're shooting car doors with people.
I was going to say that, yo. Like, damn, these were out there breaking off car doors and Jose throwing knives and people got to drive. But, hey, just another day in New York, right? Like,
no. we did some crazy stuff. We did some crazy stuff. I mean,
yeah.
And it came out great. I mean, I get to work with wonderful people that do crazy stuff. Yeah. And it scares me. I'm like, if I come up with this stuff, are they really going to do it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, he tried it.
Yeah.
I'll be jealous. I'm like, I want to do that.
Yeah,
I'm going to be holding the camera watching. It sucks. Like, I mean, we have a lot of fun on set. We have a lot of fun.
That's what I'm saying, man. Listen, congratulations to all y'all, yo. Look, we're going to come back. Look, we're going to come back on the next segment. We're going to talk about some of the other sides of filmmaking. That'll be the title for that. Other sides of filmmaking with Leonardo, man. But hey, listen. Before we go, talk about your handles, like the Twitter handles, and I don't know, man. I don't know how heavy you do this. I know you got the Facebook thing jumping off, but what's the handles and where people can find you to keep in touch with social media and stuff?
To be honest, I'm not really doing the social media the way I'm supposed to be.
Okay.
I got to get back up on that because I was. Yeah. Next time we talk, I'll have my website up and all the connections will be there. Right now you can find me, basically, you can follow me on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's Leonardo, Mr. Cinema Sanderson.
Okay.
Like I said, I embraced it.
Yeah.
No problem.
Hey, that's fly though, Mr. Cinema.
Big like Spike Lee one day.
Heck yeah.
And you know what, Mr. Cinema is great because the first thing was Coley Spike Lee Jr. I want you to know this. Coley Spike Lee Jr. And I wasn't really happy about that one.
So you said you had to change it to Mr. Cinema. I feel you had a head on tight. Hey, you know what? Talking about the social media thing too, man. I'm the same way, man. Like, it's hard. Like, when you're so busy, bro, it's hard to keep up with the social media thing. Like, it gets difficult at times. Look, shout outs, stuff like that. We cover big shouts out to the whole cast and crew and everybody like that. Look, what are we leaving out, man? And he said, what about the series?
My boy in Australia. I definitely want to give a shout out to him because he's a boxer. He has a very sad story. I don't know what I can and can't say. I don't even know if I can say his name.
Okay.
I don't know what I can and can't give away.
Right.
I'm gonna let Pete talk about that as well because me and Pete worked on that together. Pete interviewed him and I did all the shooting and what have you. And I'm still working on it in post. But I don't know what I'm able to say or not. So
right.
I'm gonna give another shout out to Jose for producing the role for me.
Yeah.
The dude is amazing. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, man, Leonardo, look, we appreciate you coming through. You're a busy guy. Look, once again, congratulations on the baby. Too. Look, you know you're gonna have to take.
Thank you, brother.
You know you're gonna have to say that again.
That's so much, right?
Hey, yeah, man. Hey, Osgray said you know you're gonna have to take a chip. You probably gonna, but you know that's gonna. Are you gonna get time to relax though? Are you gonna put everything kind of down for us? Well, obviously, Sons of God, but other projects. Are you gonna just enjoy this moment for a while and put everything away? For a couple weeks anyway.
I'm gonna finish the role. I got people relying on me to get done. If I'm not working, then the entire project's on hold. After the role, I'll probably take a break. Uh-huh. But I can't stop in the process where I'm at right now. I just simply can't do it.
That's
so after the role, it's actually my first feature. Mm-hmm. After we put that one in, and I'll take a break, and then I got another one lined up for later in the year.
Alright. Then when are you talking
always,
about?
Always more, baby. Always more.
Hey, I ain't mad at that. Look, I ain't mad at that, yo. You got to grind. Like, hey, baby going to come out looking for some new shoes anyway, so you might as well be busy.
You know what? Yeah, man. It's already cost me an arm and two legs.
Yeah,
I'm rolling around the wheelchair.
No doubt. Hey, man, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, bro, and you know what I'm saying?
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, man. I enjoy it, man. Look, I'm going to tell you what, too, man. I appreciate it, too, because coming back, man, it feels good talking to you. You know what I'm saying? And just the vibes, man. So you know, not just thank you for coming on the show, but excuse me. Thank you for taking this time to speak to me, too, man. So I appreciate that, bro.
Yo, anytime. Please have me back again, man. I enjoy every minute of it.
Hey, no doubt. And listen, also, too, once again, big shouts out to Juan. To Pete, to Jose, Diesel, everybody like that, everybody involved and stuff like that. Is the Keith Hearn
Show. Make sure you meet some of my other cast members. I got some pretty interesting people, man. I think you'll enjoy them.
Hey, yo, you know what? Yeah, let's set that up later because and have every shoot, man. We, you know what? We need to get everybody on the same call. You know what I'm saying?
That would be crazy.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah.
Wait a minute. Everybody from which place?
Right. I mean. Right. And that's the thing, we could do it. A lot of accents, a lot of slurs, a lot of bleeps, everything. That'd be a hot show. All right, bro.
I mean, if you want to do that, let's do the project I'm working on right now for Rope. That would be beast.
Man.
It's only 9 of us, so it ain't too big.
Yeah.
And
You know what? Can we find? Are you going on the Facebook page? Are you going to have? Do you got some of the stuff? The filming and some of the stills and things like that from that on the page.
We didn't go on a production. We saw pictures. Remember, I started to go to the table read.
Okay.
It's where everybody sits around for the first time, uh-huh. And they don't even put any emotion in. It's kind of. Yeah. Blandly read the lines. Everybody starts to feel for each other, meet everybody, get to know each other.
Yeah.
And right before I did my table read, Corey went to surgery.
Oh,
so we didn't do it. So I'm looking for somebody to replace him, and then we're going to move forward.
Okay.
It kind of stuck me because, like I said, that guy was great. I'm really sad not be working with him now. I look forward to working with him in the future.
Man, well, you know what? I tell you what, you know some talented people, man, so I'm sure you're going to work it out, bro.
Definitely. I'm just, you know, like I said, when you've got somebody who's really good,
yeah.
And like it just fits the role the way you saw it in your head.
Yeah.
You know.
You know what? Is he kind of choosing not to do it right now for whatever reason, or is he physically hindered? I know you explained it earlier.
No, he wants to do it anyway. I'm like, bro, you just had major surgery. You talk about putting a brace on your leg and leaning up against a wall, you're wilding.
Hey, man. Hey.
I got you on the next one, man.
I'm not going to leave you out. Hey, Osgray, look, as long as you got insurance in lined up, and I know you know how to make the shot look good, man. Hey, I mean, shoot. If he want to work, go and get it in.
I don't want him to hurt himself more
yeah.
trying to do this. I want him to heal yeah. so that when we go to the next project, because I'm going to need him to be agile. I'm going to need him.
Yeah, you're right. Cause you know, yeah, you're right. Gotta keep going. Cause you don't want nobody breaking down like right in the second joint and like that. So
yeah, like you know, hurting himself trying to push for this role. Right. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate.
Right.
Like, damn, you got my back like that. That is so peace.
Right. And when you're on a Leonardo Sanderson film, you got to be top notch and ready to be athletic. That's one thing about it. If you check out his stuff, so.
not this one so much, but the next one he might want to be able to. I don't want to get too much away, but that one, the horror.
Yeah.
That was a horror. I'm doing a horror next.
Uh-oh. Okay. Well, we're gonna say in the next one talk about that.
Game changer. Game changer.
Yeah.
Game changer.
I'm gonna be thinking about it. All right, look, Leonardo, man, it's been, once again, man, we love talking to you, and we'll be talking to you soon. Listen, everybody, make sure you pay attention to my Facebook site as well, the Keith Hearn Show, to keep in tune with what's going on and what's happening next with Leonardo Sanderson, everybody. Leonardo, it's always a pleasure, brother. We'll be talking to you soon.
Bill, thank you. It's been an honor, brother.
All right.
All right, later.
What's up, everybody, all across the land? That's right, Leonardo Sanderson, right here on the Keith Hearn Show. talented guy, amazing personality. And also, one thing that really touched me about that conversation was with him is when he spoke about the program going on with just helping young youth and really people of all ages, find ways to tap into other things that they might be interested in. A lot of people know that the film industry is an exciting world. You obviously have to be skillful. You have to be good at what you do. You have to be on time. There are rules that need to be followed. But at the same time, it's definitely a career where you hear everyone talk about how much they love what they do. And, you know, so it's promising, it's rewarding, it's interesting. Okay. In a lot of ways, it can be emotional as well. All right. Some of the stories and can be touching. You know, they can be exciting, they can be dramatic, they're scary. You know, they always touch, you know, tap into the senses. But where I'm going with this is the point I'm trying to make is so the project that they, you know, that Leonardo is standing behind is is one that gives a lot of opportunity, and it is helps in the process of giving dreams to those who come from places where dreams are not often found. All right. Or they're not often people aren't often able to follow their dreams. They don't have the resources. They don't have the knowledge, sometimes not the financing. So it's an amazing, great thing that they're doing by putting together this program that enables people to be able to get what they need, the resources, the knowledge, and just the opportunity. It's a big deal. It's an amazing thing. And that's one of the things that touched me about my conversation with Leonardo, is the fact that he still stayed grounded within that. And that's what's up. All right. So boom, bow, yow. Big shouts out to him and the whole squad. That's what's up. That's my time. I'm out. It's the Keith Harris Show. Big shouts out, Sons of God, everybody. Make sure you go see it when they get back to it. Congratulations on the baby. Once again, I'll be talking to you soon. It's your guy.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.